Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi and welcome to the podcast. This is Genuinely Grace. I hope you've had a really good week. And as we're coming into, getting towards the end of the summer, it seems incredible, doesn't it, really? I really hope things are working out for you, whatever you're up to. I keep meeting people whose lives have been totally turned around because of lockdown, not always in a good way. I just really hope that whatever is coming up for you is you're solid in your sobriety. there's been so many people that have managed to ditch the booze during lockdown, and a huge big up to them. And of course there's been others who've really, really struggled and found it hard, but you know, there's never been a better time. Now is the right time. So that's what I always say, is I always try and really encourage people, just do it now. I think I might have mentioned that I had somebody I'm connected with had said, they're putting their plans in place, and then they're thinking of starting in October. Well, why October? I don't know if you've heard some of the ads for, they always do the Go Sober for October thing, don't they? The charity stuff. And by the way, I think those initiatives are great. I think that anything that helps people get kickstarted is a good thing. But there's one of the ads that's running at the moment, a radio ad, that's especially annoying. And I can't remember exactly what it says, but along the lines of, you know, oh, sober-ish, because, you know, you may need to treat yourself a bit, kind of thing. No, you're not giving anything up. You are only gaining. If you actually want to treat yourself, then ditch the booze. That's the best thing you'll ever do towards treating yourself. So I promised you this interview that I'm going to run today. Now, I spoke with Jessica Huey a good time back. So we don't, you know, relate a lot of stuff to lockdown or anything. So if we say something, you think, what? Well, she just mentioned flying. That would be the reason. But, you know, she's got a really interesting background, Jessica Huey. I came across her because I'm also a Hay House author. But she was a teenage mother. She was expelled from school, ended up being in a hostel, but you know, had a glittering career in public relations, founded two award-winning businesses, and got an MBE from the Queen. And you know, she's just a totally inspirational woman. And I love talking about finding your passion and your purpose. So it's a topic that I talk about an awful lot, because I think it's so interesting that when people ditch the booze, that can be the time when suddenly their life expands and they suddenly feel able to make a change. So I really hope you enjoy this interview. Jessica Huey, MBE, is an entrepreneur and the author of Purpose, published by Hay House. And Jessica enjoyed a glittering career as a journalist and publicist, and has worked with some of the biggest stars and business people. Jessica, you've got such an inspirational story to tell. I was lucky enough to interview you for Hay House Radio a good long time ago, but lovely to have you with us. How are you?
Really well. I'm good. Yeah.
Good. So just give us a little bit about your background. You've done some fascinating things. As we've said before, as I just said, you know, you've worked with some amazing stars, some names that we all know, really, really famous people. You also launched Colorblind Cards. I'd love to talk a little bit about that. I know you do a lot with small business owners. But where did all of this kind of start for you?
Labrick Grove.
What was the path?
I became a mum very young, at 17, when I had my daughter, and I was 18 when she was born. And yeah, at that point, you know, had four GCSEs and very little in the way of resource. And when she came along, I realised very quickly that I needed to create, you know, it wasn't just me, and my life was going to be one of real mediocrity if I didn't change some things. And so I went back to college and then went on to university and discovered very quickly that, there was a lot of, I had a lot of shame at that time. You know, it was a real time when teen pregnancy was a, certain newspapers would have called it an epidemic.
Yeah.
You know, I felt bad about myself and about my predicament and discovered very quickly that achieving was one way to stem the feeling of not being enough. And so really found myself addicted to accomplishing, you know, which and just worked all the hours and did all the work experience and, all of that action and doing pays dividends. And so was able to forge this, you know, what society would term a really successful career in the media.
Yeah.
But then it was, you know, that I never left. I really was a workaholic, to call it as it was, and didn't leave a moment to be present or with myself. And in 2007, I became an accidental entrepreneur. I was looking for a card for my little girl. And at that time, this is kind of pre, you know, the, you know, today topics like diversity and inclusion are very much on the news agenda.
Mm.
But at that
but they weren't there. Yeah, they definitely weren't. Were. It's amazing, actually, when you think it's not that long ago.
No. Yeah, exactly. And so I was looking for a card for her, and my daughter was 7 at the time and going through a stage where she didn't like her Afro hair. And so I went looking for a greeting card with a brown skin princess, and I was just going to write, "You are perfect as you are."
Yeah, lovely.
Just, simple, small thing. And just discovered that the high street was completely devoid of cards that had people who were black, Asian, mixed. And in that moment, just decided that I needed to, felt really compelled to do something about it. And that was the birth of Colorblind Cards.
Wow.
And I guess because it was a time where, the idea that, you know, just how important representation is, you know, in the imagery that we consume and in the, on television, on the big screen, on boards, everywhere.
Mm.
It was early. We were an early part of that conversation. And as a result, we really sort of started a conversation or a big part of that early conversation
and
became the first to have an independent multicultural card brand stocked in the high street.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And then tell us what happened then when, was it 2016, your father was taken ill?
Yeah. So, Colorblind took off and a year later I left and started my own small PR agency. And was working more than ever. and it was 2016 when, I guess for the first time, I stopped and became present because my dad was diagnosed with terminal cancer.
Mm.
And it really would have taken something, a really significant life moment to get me to stop because I didn't have another mode of being, you know. I spent about 6 months really present and cared for him. And it was life-changing. It was just getting present was absolutely transformational and changed my life.
Mm, amazing. And tell us a little bit more now then about the book, how the book Purpose came about. It's something that I talk a lot about with people I work with, this feeling of recognizing your purpose. But what does the word mean for you?
I might backtrack a little bit.
Yeah, please, no, please do, please do.
I became agenderless during that period of my life for the first time, having been this kind of, constantly thinking about the next thing to do, the next goal, always future focused, in this space where suddenly you don't know the time on the clock.
Yeah.
You have a parent or somebody dear to you that is going to pass on. And it was 3 days before dad did pass that it was 3 a.m. and I picked up a pen and I just started to kind of let this stream of consciousness hit the page.
Mm.
And that, but without thinking, oh, this will be cathartic, without thinking, oh, this could be a piece of content, I just, for the sake of writing, wrote. And that piece of writing evolved into probably what's the most powerful section of purpose, the book. Mm. And so I guess what I learned from that was that when we do take our hands off the steering wheel, we tap into a resource, which is really where our most powerful, you know, creative juices and flow awaits us.
Yeah.
And so that's probably, you know, I learned a lot from that period, but, you know, the book has taken my life in a different direction. And because it was birthed without agenda, it's been transformational.
Yeah. It's really interesting, isn't it? Because so many of us, so many people, you know, can't find their voice. They are, and often it's people who are really committed to helping other people, to healing, or you know, they've got amazing work that they're doing, but they find it very difficult to stand in the spotlight themselves. Why do you think that is?
I think we have a lot of conflict around service. I mean, what you're describing are people who have often arrived at that place. You know, they've turned that corner where ambition, you know, as Wayne Dyer used to call it, ambition moves into meaning. And they've recognized and come to understand that, you know, what it's all about is being of service, but, you know, we are connected, and that's where we get to experience real joy and real flow. And I think we have sort of counterintuitive, a real sort of resistance and conflict to being paid and earning money often from our gift.
Yeah.
You know, it's a real thing. It's a real problem for creatives and artists and, as you say, healers. And so it's, but it is counterintuitive, because actually when we make that shift from I'm selling to, well, actually I'm sharing a God-given gift, which people need, and in sharing that, we elevate the whole, and we are entitled, and it's a beautiful thing to create abundance in my life. It becomes really powerful.
I mean, a lot of people, of course, also whether they have a business or not, have issues around money and the stories that either they've told themselves or that have been told to them around money, and they're deserving of abundance. What would you say about that that little issue that affects so many people?
Yeah, I mean, I'm speaking purely from opinion and experience. You know, it's I'm not an expert on the topic, but through my work with, you know, thousands of small business owners, and particularly in the last, you know, since 2016, the people that I attract that come to me are people who are, you know, running purpose-driven small businesses, or, you know, whether they're micro businesses or small entities. And it's a trend. It's a real thing. And I think the only way, you know, the way that I work with people is very much an inside-out process. It's not about, you know, I come from a background during my media years where it was about slotting into pre-existing boxes, or talking about, you know, going where the gaps in the market were, you know, talking about what's on the news agenda. And today it's the opposite. It's actually about digging deep and finding the courage to share our message, and then taking that to, you know, to where it's welcomed. You know,
yes.
It's not about fitting anymore. It's not about trying to belong. It's about becoming more of who we are and really taking ownership and embodying that. So it has to be an inside out process, which requires us to, you know, to work through our stuff and that programming and conditioning, because we don't attract what we want, do we? We attract what we are. And so that doing that personal work, that inner work, is a necessity, or we just constantly come up against obstacles and our own self-induced barriers.
Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of people who will be listening to this. I know a lot of people who are at the stage where they're aware of this, but they really don't know quite how to start, because they know that they're not I don't know, what's the word? They don't feel they're enough. The self-love is, not exactly rocking right now. They've spent years numbing out their feelings with alcohol or drugs. And only now they're sort of starting to peek out, if you like, from behind the bushes or whatever. But where do you start to try and gather that sense of self-worth and recognizing that you are enough and that you can go after your purpose?
I think it starts with getting really honest with ourselves, and that requires presence. It requires slowing down enough and actually, intentionally creating the space to be with ourselves and, look at how we're feeling, look at our lives and check in with whether or not they are aligned with all that's meaningful to us. And when we look at that and discover that actually they aren't, and there is a disconnect and we are just stuck in the mode of should and feeling crappy about ourselves, then there's an invitation. I think that's a really, as hard as it is, because there's no getting around it, this work is tough, but my goodness, is it rewarding, because my own experience is that, whatever our propensity to feel pain and struggle and challenge is in equal proportion to our propensity to feel joy and abundance and just have life open up in a way which you really, is beyond our imagination. And that's the opportunity. I think when we're in that space, we recognize I'm not where I want to be, we then have the choice to start doing some things differently.
I also think it's very interesting how so many of us are busy, busy, busy all the time, almost to burnout. Everything is the minutiae. We keep ourselves on these kind of roller coasters and then crash and burn or feel disenchanted. And I think it's interesting that, we've flagged up that when you were caring for your father, you were genderless, and that's a really interesting word, isn't it? Who is ever a genderless now? Like no one. But in that, as you say, that created a space. And now that, when one has to inflict upon themselves that a genderless period of time, it's quite difficult, isn't it? So I suppose it comes down to finding, even if it's only small amounts of space within a day.
Yeah, and that's the difference in if I look at my life pre-Verbus, the book, sort of pre-2016 and now, it's, creating that intentional space and that it's connection, it's space, but it's space to become reconnected with who I really am and to connect to how I'm feeling and then move into my day from that space and return to that space at the end of the day. That is my ultimate priority above all else. And I mean motherhood and everything else, because actually when I come from that space and I live and I act from that space, it's intentional. It's not reactive. And I'm just much more effective as a mother, as a businesswoman, as a writer, all of it. So therefore it has become my ultimate, focus.
So would you say then that having some time, to set some time at the beginning of the day is really crucial? What about people who are immediately thinking, well, I can't meditate, or I'm already up at the, ridiculously early hours? What would you recommend?
I think with, I was a single mum for many years. I get it, I do. But I think it comes down, we have choice. And I think it comes down to, for the people that find meditating difficult, one of the things that I really enjoy is Julia Cameron's morning pages.
Yeah. Something we talk about a lot. And
really?
I love it.
Yeah. So, your listeners will know it's that kind of free writing for 3 pages. And that's a way to connect it to ourselves.
Yeah.
Just sitting in silence, it's just getting still. And also not going straight into reactive mode, looking at our phones and checking emails, which, you know, was my reality for many years.
Yeah, as soon as you wake up, straight onto the phone, which is not great, is it, when you've been literally resting?
No. So susceptible, you take it all in and you're immediately on the back foot, and your whole energy is kind of impacted by whatever you're taking in.
Yeah, so true. So you would do a sort of morning practice of some kind, would you, personally?
Yeah, I write, I do my morning pages, and then I meditate, and often my little boy will climb into my bed, you know, 2 minutes into my meditation. So I don't always manage, but it's like I've built that habit. And so if I don't, you know, I'll come back to it after the school run. It's not always perfect, you know, it doesn't have to be, but I think just having the intention. A client of mine, Anna Vila, who is a mindfulness expert who changed her life through the breath post-divorce. She talks about, you know, when you're doing the school run and at 3 o'clock just sit in your car, you know, develop that habit of just sitting and becoming present and breathing.
Yeah.
So I think the breath, you know, for the non-meditators, just that kind of deep intentional breathing for a few minutes can be powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. What would you say to people who are going through a bit of a transition phase? Because again, this is something that I find a lot of people find themselves in a position where, you know, there's things are starting to kind of open up for them, but they actually don't know what they want. They're not sure what the future holds. How would you encourage people to really focus on their purpose if they really don't have clarity on what it is?
I think, well, first of all, you know, it's a beautiful space to be in, and it's really blooming uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That being with uncertainty is the hardest thing. And but I'd say lean into it. And, you know, when it comes down to purpose, for me, purpose isn't about doing. Often the word conjures up these ideas of, okay, I should have this big legacy project thing I'm doing with my life. And
yeah.
Can be a real turnoff. It's not that to me. It's about who we are. It's a way of being.
Yeah.
We can't, you know, you can be purposeful in you know, being a bin man. You can be purposeful in raising your kids. It's not about more doing. It's on the contrary. It's about, and I don't think we can know what we should be doing until we know who we are.
Right.
Otherwise, it's the same outside should mechanism, which is just part of our old programming. We need to really reconnect with who we are and start. It's less about becoming something else and much more about taking off who we're not.
That's such a good point.
Yeah, it's about losing stuff. It's not about gaining anything else, because who we are is there. And once we reconnect with that, we'll know what to do. Those things that we're here to do, will it can't help but evolve from that place of connection.
But it is interesting, because, you know, it's what you say is completely true. But for so many people, they really have lost touch with who they are. In fact, they can't actually remember what it is that makes them feel as though they're in the flow, in you know, any sense of joy, because of the kind of, I don't know, the kind of treadmill they're on, and the constant whatever it is. Drudgery, I suppose, in some cases it feels like. They've actually lost sight of who they really are at their core. So that's quite a thing, isn't it? I've met a few people who have said, you know, I don't know what I enjoy. And they've almost had to think back to childhood, what they enjoyed when they were a kid.
I think a lot of us don't feel at all. You know, we don't even know what we're feeling from. We're so on autopilot. But it's you know, that's the invitation. It's about just literally disrupting our lives in the best possible way and getting really honest, and then deciding, you know, breaking out of that autopilot mode and starting to take ourselves out of our comfort zone and explore, you know, new hobbies or go for a walk without knowing exactly where you're going. It's about disruption. Positive disruption.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, get to know ourselves again.
Yeah, yeah. And as you say, some of that will come from simple exercises like sitting in silence or writing morning pages, you know, just stream of consciousness stuff, or as you say, going for a walk. It doesn't have to be massive stuff, does it? Because the other thing, of course, that so many people say when you start to have these conversations is, well, you know, I'll do that when I've got, you know, a month off work, or when the kids leave home, or it's always, I'll do it when. And yet actually these, well, I think what you're saying is some of these sort of practices, some of these exercises can just, you can sneak them into your life right now and see what emerges.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we don't realize that we have so many more choices than we think we have often. And we can, and I, you know, we all have responsibilities and bills to pay, and but we become so hemmed into and sort of trapped by our own limitations, and often we're unwilling, you know, we're unwilling to do what's required in order to move out of our own dissatisfaction. That's just a you know, it's a truth, because transition can be really uncomfortable. But we can start gently, for sure.
Yeah Interesting. And people who feel that they aren't creative, or that they, you know, that their sort of sense of self-worth, if you like, is really so low that and I've heard people say, well, I don't really have anything to offer. Where would those people start?
I think we're all innately creative. I think we've just lost touch with it. And you know, Julia Cameron, Morning Pages, the artist, author of The Artist's Way, wonderful, wonderful woman. She has lots of wonderful exercises. I'd recommend that book when it comes down to creativity.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So it's, again, it's about just trying to sort of wheel back that, you know, internal clock and remember what lit us up as children, you know. And often when we do that, we discover that there was messaging as early on that suggested that we weren't creative, and it's not our own voice that we're hearing. It's some old sort of critic which has left us believing that we're not creative. But I believe we're all innately creative in one way or another.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us what we get from the book then, Jessica.
In purpose.
Yeah.
Well, the feedback has been lots of people have started things, you know.
Really? Great.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. It's a really honest sharing of my redefining of success. You know, I thought I was, like many of us, working towards this kind of elusive place where I'd get to and feel like I was enough, and that I'd, you know, and actually, you know, went on to sort of tick the boxes of so-called success and discovered that there was nothing there. And I'm really grateful for the adventures and the opportunities I had. But, you know, When we do reconnect with who we are and we start to create our life from that place, it's incredible, and things start to flow. You know, opportunities will open up that we just couldn't have written into any business plan.
Yeah,
and there is a fulfillment that comes from the connection when we live in that way. And so it's an invitation to live differently, I guess.
Yeah,
and a sharing of how it's possible under some circumstances that perhaps, you know, most people would have said it wasn't.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I'm guessing you've had some wonderful kind of, you know, stories. You say great feedback and wonderful stories from people who have, I don't know, just kind of found their purpose, I suppose, for want of a better expression, which must be great. Must feel really good.
It does. And, I think when you come from that place, and I've written very honestly, it's so funny because a lot of often people say, you're so honest in the book, as almost as though, you know, we're so used to dishonesty and being closed that it's almost shocking that, you know, one can be vulnerable. But in doing that, people have come on a journey with me. They've come to my British Library masterclasses. They've come to my retreats, and they've, you know, joined my Transformational Visibility Academy, because you connect on a very different level, which is, you know, It's heart to heart and it's soul to soul, because when we hear truth, we feel it.
Yeah.
And that has been just so rewarding and nourishing.
Fantastic. So Jessica, tell us, give us your website where people can find out more information about you.
Sure. So it's Jessica Huey, which is HUIE.com, and everything.
Great. Lovely to chat to a fellow Hay House author, and love all the work you're doing. It's amazing. I really appreciate you taking the time to speak to us. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
So don't forget, if you want support and inspiration on finding your purpose, then come and join us in the Sober Club, because we do quite a lot about that. And obviously I offer one-to-one coaching as well. And it's always quite funny with the coaching, because I often sort of have a client who will come to me because they want to really nail ditching the booze, because they've probably had several attempts and then they keep going back to it. And so they kind of want to really get it nailed. But usually by week two of our coaching package, we're on to the book that they're going to write, or the trip they're going to take, or the new home they want to buy, or, you know, new job, career, I don't know, whatever it is. It's amazing how although ditching the booze is massive and it's the most important thing you'll ever do, actually, once you've really, really got your mindset right, it's just the springboard for everything else. It's incredible, really, how people just do that hard thing. And it is hard at the beginning. I never try and tell people it isn't. It's tough at the beginning. But when you've really nailed that, it just expands your life in just so many other ways. It really is incredible. I'm always going on about that, aren't I? Don't forget, if you have any suggestions for me of guests you'd like to hear on the podcast, do please let me know. I'm definitely going to be interviewing Mandy and Kate from Love Sober, who are the authors of the book Love Sober, which I'm really enjoying. So that's going to be coming up soon. And I've got lots of other great guests in the pipeline, but I always love to know what you would like to hear. Please don't forget to rate and review the podcast. It really makes a difference. And obviously share details of it with your friends. And of course, check out the Sober Club if you want to be, part of our club and get inspiration and accountability and that sense of community and just masses of great content, because, I do get some really good experts working with me. And I think I already mentioned that beginning of September, well, it's next week actually, we have an exclusive masterclass with Rob Hobson on nutrition and sleep. So looking forward to that. So now's a great time to join the Sober Club. Amazingly, we are a year old. Oh my goodness, a year old on the 7th of September. So I'm going to have something special for that anniversary of the Sober Club. Looking forward to that. And I almost forgot to tell you that the Champneys event is happening on the 3rd to the 4th of October. Obviously limited spaces, but we do have some space, as well as people who were scheduled to come in June. It's relatively small, all done properly. Fantastic facilities, and it's called Self-Care and Sobriety. Have a look at the show notes or go to thesoberclub.com and click on events if that's of interest. It's Champneys Tring in Hertfordshire for Self-Care and Sobriety, 3rd and 4th of October. I'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.